Perhaps you can do for us what has been done for you. You have heard stories that we have not heard.
Mm-hmm.
Give me an example of the stories you've heard that have convinced you.
Well, I have one story that is superb, but it's going to take me about 10 minutes to tell it, so I don't want to break in the middle. But let me just start with a nice short story that said to me that I think in some ways these stories are so familiar to all of us, because that's one of the common threads I've seen, is that they're real familiar. A woman, young woman, beautiful young woman, came up to me at a wedding 2 summers ago, and my husband is a police officer, and he happened to be the best man. This was a young man that he had been training who asked my husband to be the best man, and of course, you know what first weddings are like. You know, they do everything, and it was fun, and we had a good time. But I have to tell you, when I got to the party afterwards, I realized I was closer to the age of most of the parents than I was to the participants. And I'm thinking, oh, I think I'm just going to sneak over in the corner and sit in one of those dark booths and have a Michelob Golden Light draft or something like that. It was a hot summer day. Well, I was walking over, and a beautiful young woman comes up to me. She tells me she's a friend of the groom. She's maybe 20. And I said, and what is it you do, Susan? She said, well, I'm a jailer. And I said, a jailer? She said, yes, the men's jail. And I thought, oh, those poor men. And then I thought, oh, this poor woman, what a hard job. And she said, yes, it has been hard. And she says, but I read your book, which was my first one, Forever Hours, and I have to talk with you. And I said, fair enough. So we talked, and she said, you know how hard it is to be in law enforcement the first year. She says, they can fire you any time for no reason. So I've really worked hard, and I've just been keeping my, you know, nose to the grindstone. She said, I don't have either of my grandpas left. And I adopted my best girlfriend's grandpa, and his name is Duet. So she said, I hadn't visited him at all since I started this job. It's my first year. And he kept calling and saying, oh, please, Susan, won't you come visit me? I've just moved to a new place. There's a fountain and a pond, and come. Well, she said, I made no time. She says, I read your book, all these stories, and I was really excited about it. I fell asleep that night, and lo and behold, I had the most amazing thing happen. She said, Grandpa Duet appeared at my bedside. He took me by the hand, and together we went hand in hand to his nursing home. We sat down by the pond at the fountain, and I said, well, what did you do? She says, we talked about life. And I said, well, tell me, what did he say? Well, she said, I can't remember now, you know, darn. But she said, he did say not to worry, that everything was just fine. She said, when I woke up the next morning, I was so excited and so happy, I just could hardly wait to give him a call. And so I got up, I reached for the phone, and it rang. You know what most people know? I wouldn't even have to finish the story, because most people know. Well, she said it was my girlfriend telling me that Grandpa Duet had been found dead in bed that morning at the nursing home.
So how about that, Doctor? Suppose the great mystery were not a mystery. Consider it either way, that it was, that we would all know there's nothing after death, it's just the great blackness, the end of all, or that there is a consciousness that extends after death. If it were proven either way, how do you suppose that would change society?
I think that's not an easy answer, but I would say that either way, I think that we would learn to treasure life more. You see, I think that when I look at people who have had these experiences, that know without any doubt in their minds that they'll see their loved ones again, that life goes on, I really observe that they live differently than before. They seem to have an inner knowing, a peacefulness, that really creates such beauty in their lives. It seems to be not what they're doing. It seems to be who they're being. And I frequently will say to people, and that's been the subject of, can I mention my second book, Beyond Knowing?
Of course.
That has been what I wrote about this time. Because I'll say, tell me, how has this changed your life? And their answers are just amazing. They say, oh, trust yourself. Trust your feelings. Life is perfectly safe. It always goes on. They say, all is well. Live each life to the fullest. Life's a phenomenal gift. There's nothing to fear. One man even said, you know, Doc, we're more than we know. He said, that makes me take a whole lot better care of myself.
Live each life to the fullest would suggest to me the possibility of reincarnation.
Yes, or live each day to the fullest. Live each day to the fullest. I tell you, I had an interesting experience, just to go on the reincarnation thing, with a woman who came to me after a lecture and said, Doc, I committed suicide. She didn't say I attempted. She said, I committed it. And my first question as a forensic pathologist, well, how did you do that? Well, she said, I was in a terrible marriage with an alcoholic husband, and I threw myself out of a car at 60 miles an hour. She said, it was a stupid thing to do. It hurt so bad. She said, I lost consciousness because I hit my head. I woke up in the emergency room floating up near the lights, like so many people are familiar with. She says, I look up. I see my mother and my father. I'm surrounded by such love. I look down, and there is this body that's all broken up, and I really don't even recognize at that moment that it's mine. And then I see this being of, you know, luminous light, and I see my life just kind of unfold in front of my eyes. And she described it like a spool of ribbon that just unwound. And she said, I saw all of the experiences of my life. And she says, it was amazing. She said, I saw that I had been so good to everybody in my life except me. And she said, and she pointed her finger at me. She said, I was given the extraordinary opportunity to come back. So remember this, doctor. A lifetime is a phenomenal gift. Use it well. And those words caught me, because she didn't say a life. She said,
no, a lifetime.
A lifetime.